פרק וו. This is whatever midah Shlomo HaMelech is talking about here. He has a big problem with his midah. Yesh ro asher ro'isi tachas ha-shemesh. There's something bad that I have seen. V'rabo hi al ha'odom. So there's two pshotim. What v'rabo? Rabo obviously means it's a lot. V'rabo hi al ha'odom. So one pshat is like the targum. And one pshat is like Rashi. Rashi says, Rabo hi al ha'odom, b'harbe b'nei odom. Whatever trait, negative trait, he's talking about, is Rabo hi al ha'odom. Rashi learns there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that suffer from this bad quality. And the Targum uses a different lashon. V'rabso hi al b'nei anosha. Which really would mean more in a more exact way, means it's a serious problem by people. So the Rabbah is talking about the severity of the problem. But either way, if we take together the Targum and Rashi, so Shlomo HaMelech is saying this is a common, severe problem. So what's the problem? Ish, you have a man, Asher yitein lo Elokim oisher unechosim v'chovod. Hashem gives a person wealth, honor, v'ein echosel anafshe mikol asher yisave. It's strange, because he starts off by saying, the person has everything. He has everything that he desires. Right? V'lo yashliteinu Elokim lecho mimen. But Hashem hasn't given him the shlita, which really doesn't mean necessarily Hashem. It means he hasn't used the shlita. Lecho mimenu. To eat from it, to benefit from it. But he just finished saying, ve'ein echosel anafshe mikol asher yisave. He has everything. So he says, ze hevel v'choli rohu. This is a terrible thing. This is the worst thing. So because of this little bit of a contradiction, first he says the man has everything he desires, and he's not missing anything. So it sounds like he's enjoying, he's deriving pleasure. And then he says, but he's having no pleasure. So Rashi, because of this, Mistama, because of this question, he doesn't ask a question. But Rashi makes a statement. I'm just assuming that because this is the question Rashi had, so Rashi therefore says, he wants more and more. So Rashi therefore learns that he has everything he could want. That just means he has everything that the etzem he desires, but then when he's ultimately deriving pleasure from it, he's not allowing himself to derive pleasure because he wants more. It still remains a little bit of a contradiction. Sounds like he has everything. It sounds like he doesn't have everything. So what's tutzachto? There's a Rabbeinu Yain in Pirkei Avos that I very often bring out when we're learning Pirkei Avos, other areas, which ties into the Hakdoma. There's a sefer called Sifra Ditzniusa. Sifra Ditzniusa is a very special sefer, has a lot of sodas in it. It was written by a Talmud Muvik of the Goyen, the Vilna Goyen. So in the introduction to Sifra Ditzniusa, he brings down a maisa with the Vilna Goyen, that he had with the Vilna Goyen, which mirrors what I always say to this Rabbeinu Yenis. Because the Mishnah, Rabbeinu Yain is going on Pirkei Avos on the Mishnah. Eizu Asher, Asamech Bechalka. Right? Who's the Asher? Asamech Bechalka. Simple, you read the Mishnah. It's a secular, the secular world has embraced this concept as well. Many secular sources quote this Mishnah, even without using the Mishnah as their source, but they quote the concept of the Mishnah, that Who's a real rich man? Somebody who's happy with what the, with their lot in life. Meaning, if you're not happy with what you have in life, so what's it all worth? There's people committing suicide. There's millionaires, multimillionaires committing suicide. So they're not really rich. So Ezer Washer was rich. Sameach b'chel. Faltik. Rabbeinu Yehuda comes in Pirkei Avos. And he says, what does it mean, Ezer Washer Sameach b'chel? It means somebody who basically is Isaac and Torah and mitzvahs. He makes it into a whole frumkeit. When you can read the Mishnah, very simple. Just like secular, havdil, the secular sources understand it. Just be happy with what you got. If you're happy with what you got, then you're rich. And if you're not happy with what you got, you're poor. Finished. But then he says, and then he says, and he's happy with his chelik, whatever he has. Why does he have to make a frumkeit out of the Mishnah? Just say, the man is happy with what he got. Right? What's the pshat in it? So listen what the Talmud Agra brings down from the Vilna Gaon here in the Sifra Ditznius. It's right in the introduction. He says as follows. Pamachas, he says, one year, it was the first day of Pesach. B'yoyim Aleph Shal Pesach. Yoshvu Trei Talmidim Chashuvim Lufnei Agra. Two Talmidim were by the Vilna Gaon. First day of Pesach, very happy day. Right? Most people very happy Pesach. This is the first day, and it's in the morning, and the Goyim, it's Yadua, that the Goyim used to every day get up with like a bren for life, like nobody had. And this is Pesach. And the Goyim, V'tomid agros someach, v'simchas yomtev, v'simchas Torah. And then they saw Shayoyim ain't simchas ikir gele. They saw it, Mr. Goyim, one event in the Gaon's lifetime where he wasn't so happy. He woke up without this. He saw he was not. They want to know what it was. Vishalu es piv. They asked him. So listen what he answers them. V'omar lohem. So the Gaon told his Talmidim, ki bizeh alayla, leil Pesach, always Elyonovi came to him. Every Pesach. First night of Pesach, Elyonovi came to the Gaon. And this particular Pesach, Gilo Loi, B'Shem Hashem, he came with a message from Hashem. Hashem told Elyonovi to come down and to tell the Vilna Gaon. Now this is not a story. This is not from around the, somebody's tables or something. This is Sifrei Ditznius, straight from a Talmud of the Gaon. The Gaon said, Elyonovi came to him, B'Shem Hashem. And Elyonovi told him that Hashem told him, L'galois al parshas shlach, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Yizayin Aluza Banegev, Chidushim Neroim. Unbelievable Chidushim on the Pasuk Aluza Banegev. That's what he said. Obviously, it's a correlation to Pesach, Yitzis Mitzrayim, Eretz Yisrael. On this pasuk, you know how many chidushim Elyonovi told him in the name of Hashem? He told him 2,260 pshatim in this pasuk. Yeah, that's a ganz fine shtuk, ganz fine piece here. 2,260. He says, "Uba'omdi ba'boiker." So the Goyim says, "When I woke up in the morning, I was so excited with these 2,260 pshatim in one pasuk that I got straight from Hashem. I was so excited that I didn't get a chance to make Birch Sater. And I was thinking about it. I woke up. So whatever he thought about in his sleep, there's no chi of Birch Sater. If you think in learning in your sleep, which is very highly recommended, it's a lot of good things you could accomplish in your sleep. That you don't have to worry. Some people may dafka not think of learning in their sleep. They're worried about brichsater. So you shouldn't be din is not a shay. Whatever you think about in learning in your sleep, you're part of a brichsater. But second you wake up, you chayiv brichsater. So the Goyen says, I was so excited, shelo yacholti lisapek. I couldn't control myself. I started thinking about these 2,260 pshatim before brichsater. koyim brachsater. And therefore, nenashti v'nisalmu mimeni. He says, and then as soon as I thought about them, I lost them. Okay, I lost them. So it's a good reason why he should be sad. He just lost 2,260. No, it's not the end of the story. He says, and therefore he says, la'achat tfilu b'chia. He said, I cried out to the Rabbanu Shalom. Mamish, I cried out. Huchzar li avidosi, v'nizgalu li shenis. So what was he upset about? He was upset that for 20 minutes or half hour, till he davened to get them back, he was without them. So basically he got 2,260 chidushim on one posuk from Eliyahu HaNovi b'shem Hashem. He forgot it for about 20 minutes. I'm saying 20 minutes. I don't know if it's 20 minutes. Half hour. 10 minutes. I don't know. He davened, because this all happened in the morning. He davened, and it all came back to him. But he's still depressed. He was depressed that for 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half hour, whatever to do. For that time, he forgot the 2,260 chidush. That was the time that they sort of going depressed. If they have to look at his lifetime, you know, obviously, Tisha B'Av Nistami, he was depressed. I'm sure he had other events. But day to day, that was the only day they saw him at Pisnat Pesimch. Nervoy. Right? Nervoy. What does that mean? It means that the joy that you get from spiritual accomplishments is priceless. It's something that is doich everything in the world. It's doich everything in the world. It's taka what David HaMelech says. Lule Saros Khashashui Ozavadati Bonyi. Right, David HaMelech says, if not for the fact that I had Torah, I would have. Why? Because you look at David HaMelech's life, it's hard to believe that somebody could have endured such a life. It's hard to believe. We think of David HaMelech, wow. David HaMelech, think about one event. Think about one son gathering most of Klai Yisrael to kill you. Try to live through that. Think about Melech Yisrael gathering Klai Yisrael to kill you. Shaul HaMelech. These are just some of the events that David HaMelech had in his lifetime. But he still was David. So he says, if not for the Torah, it wouldn't have been Shaykh. So the way I explained this, years ago I explained it this way. Because I had a kasha. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia, Pedal over the famous Gemara, that Rish Lakish once told Rabbi Yochanan something that was out of line. So Rabbi Yochanan looked at him and he died. Basically, the Olam is lucky that doesn't happen in yeshivas when you're mechutzav to your Rebbe, this happens. But in Rabbi Yechon was a scary shir to be in. Because the Gemara of Basra brings down a similar story. By Rabbi Yechon, if you were out of line, you left. You left. For good. Anyway, so Rish Lakish left. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yechon Mamish went crazy. Shoftai to Rabbi Yechon. Ultimately, he went crazy. That was the end of Rabbi Yechon. Because he didn't have Rish Lakish. They tried to bring him other Talmidim, also big gedolim. He said, "Heichanat bar Lakisha, where's Rish Lakish?" You see from the Gemara that Rav Yechanan, once his Talmud was gone, he couldn't survive. So what's the obvious question? So you think Rav Yechanan maybe is shtickel chveis, an emotional upset, maybe manic chveis, Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan lost 10 sons, as the Gemara says in Brachas, in his lifetime. He has 10 sons. Rachman al-Islam. The Medrash says in Shir HaShir that he really had 20 children. He had 10 daughters. And they all died before the Chuppah. None of them, he didn't see one of them to the Chuppah. Could you believe that kind of amount of tzar? And somehow he didn't lose it. He survived. What's Pshat? How did he survive? He survived. And now all of a sudden Rish Lakish died. Shof died in Rabbi Yechanan. How do you explain this? How do you scientifically explain it? So I gave a very simple pshat. I think it's aleph-based. I don't even think it's a chiddush. I think it's aleph-based. That's exactly what Tovan HaMelech meant when he said, Lulei Saros Choshashuay, Ozovati Meonye. Everything in life is relative. Everything in life is relative. That's the way it is. Somebody who is extremely, extremely concerned about something, right? They have a child in the hospital. They have a spouse in the hospital. They have a parent in the hospital. Okay? And they find out, right? They find out that Baruch Hashem, their parent, their child, is okay. Right. But when the surgeon comes out and he tells them, Baruch Hashem, everything is good. I forgot to mention to you, there's a part of the surgery that's not covered. $5,000 you owe me for the surgery. It won't even make one blick. It won't make one blick on the person. Maybe an hour later, maybe when they get used to the feeling the relief that everything is okay, then they'll regurgitate. But right then, at that moment, they're not getting upset. They're not getting upset. It's a simchas Torah. It's a simchas Torah. So it's $5,000. We'll figure it out. Right? Lamaisa, if a guy was sitting at home by his dining room table, and his wife told him, by the way, I got into Stickle Fender Bender by Evergreen, and I caused damage to a car, and we have a $500 deductible. I've seen that happen. Explodes! It's only $500. Yep, $500. $500 is enough to make somebody explode. I've seen many explosions. $500 explosions. I've seen less than that. Being kind. $500 explosions, I've seen a lot of them. What's pshat? Because $500. So why the guy in the hospital just heard $5,000? Because his kid is okay. He's not focusing on $5,000. The kid is okay. His father is okay. His father just came out of a life and death situation. Baruch Hashem. I'm not telling you. A week later, he'll be upset about it. True. But that's only because he's back to regular life. Same thing the other way around. I'll never forget, I was a little kid, I was by a chasana. This is one of the earlier days when they didn't have chasanas in the Crest Hollow Country Club in Long Island. I'm sure some of you have been to that place. It's a very fancy place. It takes a yovel to get there. Okay? It's like another side of Long Island. Anyway, I remember the first time I was there. I was a little kid. I was maybe 10 years old. That time, you're going back 40 plus years ago, wasn't used a lot. But this was a relative of mine, very wealthy, and there wasn't really a lot of kosher caterers. He managed to get it done. A ger chassid family. Anyway, we go into the chuppah room, and we're waiting for the chuppah to start. It's not starting. Sitting and sitting and sitting. Turns out, the glass that was supposed to open up didn't work. Didn't open. You have a nice fancy house now, you spent a tremendous amount of money, but and the Masada Kedusha, the Haimish, not doing it, it's not under the Kechovim, it's not happening. So everybody's sitting there. Felt like I was a kid, could be it was a half hour, could be, it felt like 5 hours, but it was a long time. The brother of the Kala was already a married fellow. He managed to somehow get on the roof of this room, and he broke the glass. He broke the glass. And they had the chuppah. So I don't know why I remember it like yesterday. Again, this is many years ago. Many, many years ago. I remember like yesterday. The manager, whoever it was of the hotel, whoever the guy there was livid that this happened. And he went over to the guy, he found out what I feared, what happened. The guy gave it back to him. He said, what do you mean? We made up and has to open it. Didn't open it. He told him on the spot, he said, that's going to cost you $2,500. Those days, $2,500. Now it's nothing. $2,500. Was a big sum of money. I remember the guy's face. He was smiling. I'll give you $2,500. It meant nothing to him. This is a chuppah. Mishpacha's getting married. So the window broke, so another $2,500. Big deal. Because when you buy a chasana, and you're marrying off, and somebody very close to you is getting married, so the less important things in life start to fade. Right? They start to fade. And the truth is, everybody's that way. When you're a baby, the most important thing to you is a lollipop. Okay? So a one-year-old kid, the whole world is a lollipop. Take the lollipop away from the anacle. I've done it. This kid screams like the whole world is coming to an end. There's a nuclear explosion. Right? It's a lollipop. Try to explain to the two-year-old kid. It's Ataya. What is this? It's a half an ounce of sugar and water. Why are you crying like the world came to an end? It's nothing. It's a stupid lollipop. I can't explain it to my anacle. You know why? Because he's 2 years old. By him, the most important thing in the world is that round lollipop that's a little sugar and water that's sticky and he's getting my Shabbos jacket dirty. By him, that's the most chashuv zach in the world. We don't really change. We stay like that. We stay like two-year-olds. Grade, we have bigger lollipops. It's a lot, I'm not going to cry over a lollipop. Right, Shimmy, we're not crying over lollipops. Not at this stage of the game. We cry over something else. You lost a deal. Lost a $2,000 deal. You cry. Okay? The lollipop gets a little bigger. It's still stupid. It's still stupid. Because everything in this world is temporary. As you get older, you realize, okay, that's mamish temporary. I'm not going to cry over that. I'm ridiculous. My can of soda spilled. I'm going to start crying. I'll get a can of soda. I'll get another cup. Yeah, but for the next 10 minutes, what are you going to do? Okay, it's a bummer. I'm not going to cry over a bummer. That's Mitzvahs. That's the way it is. A kid, if you're on the highway, you ask your mother how long it's going to take you to get to the place. There's traffic, and the mother says another hour, you start crying. Most adults don't start crying when there's traffic. They're not happy about traffic. They have, listen, traffic doesn't qualify to cry. I'm not crying over traffic. Right? It's a little bit of a broader picture. Dosa do you say? Rabbi Yochanan, everything was Nitzchias. Everything was long-term. So whatever tzoros he had in this world, he was able to capsulize it. It's temporary. My children are in Olam Haba, and there was a tikkun. He was able to look at it broader. But once you took away his Torah, once you took away his chasana, then he had to deal with, I want to say, shov da'ayti to Rabbi Yochanan from all the tzoros of this world. Not just from Reish Lakish. Once he wasn't able to fully incorporate more important things of life the way he did when Reish Lakish was there. Now he already had all the other tzar. That's what David HaMelech meant. David HaMelech said, if not for the Torah, that's why he calls it Shashui. Shashui is like a strange, David HaMelech calls it a toy. A toy is like you distract the kid. You give a kid a toy, you distract them. Right? The pshat is that if you don't get distracted, you focus on these things in this world, it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing. Lulei teros l'shashuai, but I have something that's so important that overshadows. And like I said, what I'm telling you is davar pasha, because you can look in your own lives. Anytime something very important is going on, you're less focused on stupidities. Because you have something more important that's playing a role by you than that. You have something more important that's playing a role by you. I was by a chasana recently, where the chasana, in the middle of the chasana, somebody spilled something on the chasana. This was during the dancing. And Mamish, on his beautiful suit, Mamish got completely soiled. Mamish soiled. Looked. Now this guy is very into his clothing. And if this would have happened, Stamazay, okay? And you guys don't know who it is, because he's not here from Yeshiva. You're already thinking. He's not from Yeshiva. This is a guy that normally, if you spilled something on his suit, he would have a panic attack. That's the way he is. You know me, it's okay. Doesn't panic me. Take away my ice cream, that's something else. put some dirt on my kapata, doesn't bother me. This guy, Mamish, I remember looking at his face. He was smiling. He was smiling. The vort is what? Sizchasne! By his chasne, he was able to elevate himself above his suit. The flip side is you think, by his chasne, even more upset. It's my chasne, I'm beautiful. No, he was in a different zone. In that zone, things like a stain on a suit didn't really play a role to him. Doesn't he say? Shlomo Melech is saying, and that's who the Goyen was. The Goyen, the only time you could see disappointment by the Goyen was when he forgot for a half hour the Giluyim that he had from Shemayim. Right? That's why he always looked happy. But for that morning that he lost the Giluyim, that's where you saw the disappointment. So look, Shlomo HaMelech, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could give you whatever Oysher, Nesachim, Nechasim, but then he also gives you a way to enjoy it. The way to enjoy everything is that you have something above all this that you enjoy. Because, and that's what Ben Yehin is saying. What Ben Yehin is saying is, if all you enjoy is physical, it's not going to work, like we spoke about in the earlier program. So when Shlomo HaMelech says, Hashem gave you Oysher Nechasim, and then he also gave you Cho Asher Ta'av Nafshe, that's through the Ruchnius things. But if you don't capture those things, those Ruchnius things, right, and you only live with the Oysher and the Chasim, then you'll never, and that's what Rashi says, Samech Bechalka. You'll never be a Samech Bechalka. But if you integrate higher things, then you could appreciate life, because then the disappointments in life, you can absorb. You can absorb them, because you have something more important. Otherwise, you're a baby. You have two choices. You could live your life like a baby. Mamish like a baby. Babies are full of disappointments. Every baby cries a bunch of times a day. Rahman al-Islam, right? Every baby. Right? Anybody tells you that a baby doesn't cry a couple times a day, this is a chakra. Why does a baby cry? Because even a baby has disappointments. My diaper's dirty now. For 20 minutes, nobody did anything about it. That's a disappointment. My mother took away my rattle. I just said, I'm a shtickle hungry. I'm a shtickle fool. They need a burp, they cry. You ever saw adult crying? Imagine you came to the table, adult is screaming. I don't know, I'm trying to investigate. The ball was screaming, the whole hall is here, wasn't it? No, this is an adult. I'm not a baby, I'm an adult. Wouldn't it be pretty sad if you went through life and every time you had to go to the bathroom, or you didn't go to the bathroom, you had to go, or you feel a little, you start crying? Teretz is, you Baruch Hashem, you get old enough to realize that you don't have to cry 20 times a day for every little stupidity. But Be'emes, if you don't have Ruchnius in your life, you remain a baby. You're just a different baby. You're not crying about this, you're crying about something else. You're crying about a business deal. You're crying because your wife did. You're crying because... That's what life is. That's the way that's what life evolves into. If you don't... And that's a raw rabba al-adam. Many people suffer from it, and it's very disappointing to live life that way. And the only way to get out of that gridlock is to have some higher thing that you're living for. To have something that is more that you're living for. If you have something more you're living for, like I just told over the Olam from a Baron, this story always stays in my head. That Rabbi Aaron Kotler was, I believe, was with Yankel Schiffer, one of his Talmidim, raising money in Miami Beach. This was in the earlier days. And the Kabbalah boss, the guy they were raising money from, didn't have the seichel that if Rabbi Aaron Kotler comes to your house, so you get dressed and you come out of the pool, or you come out of the pool, rather, you get dressed, and you see Rabbi Aaron Kotler. Instead, the maid told Rabbi Aaron Kotler to come to the back to speak to this guy while he's in the pool. You have to realize, in those days, in the 40s and 50s, it's not such a pella. Today it would be a pella, but in those days, not such a pella. Anyway, after they left, so this Talmud of Rabbi Aaron looks up at him, he says, Rebbe, wow, look at this Bala boss. What Olam Hazeh he has. Today, no big deal, a pool. Those days, this was a real Olam Hazeh. So Baron tells him, Olam Hazeh? Me have an Olam Hazeh. He has Olam Hazeh, we have Olam Hazeh. He says, Maybe if he helps us out, he'll get some of our Olam Haba. Olam Haza, we have Olam Haza. Rabban wasn't exaggerating. That's the way Rabban knew. He knew that's the way it was. I had such a mice when I was raising money for the shul. The first time the shul went up, 25 years ago, the first edition. So we went to raise money. I went with Eli Rubin. So we went to one guy at a summer home in Muncie. Like a chassidus shechveis, what they call tuna bagel. Then they weren't tuna bagels. But it's asot shtickle chassidus, shtickle not chassidus. He was in the pool. So we had the same mice. The lady in the house told us he's in the pool. So me and Eli Rubin walked to the back of the house. We're schmoozing with him in the pool about giving money to the shul. And he's in the pool with all his glory. He's playing with a ball in the pool. He goes, Rabbi. You know, he spoke even with that chassidus. Rabbi, why don't you come in the pool with us? And every shot you get in from the basket, I give the shul $1,000. So I'm a litvak. I was going to do it. I said, I need a bathing suit. You have a bathing suit? I was ready to do it. But Eli Rubin is a rebbish, he didn't want me to do it. He goes, well, Rav, please don't. I said, no, it's for the shul. I can't be him about it. He goes, how many shots is the roof going to get in? I'm not a very good basketball player. Okay. You get him, what, 10, 15? I'll give the shul a check. Don't go in. See, he got me not to jump into the pool. I was going to go jump in. But Lamaisa, that's what Rabbi Aaron understood. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. Not that you shouldn't enjoy this world, but that if you don't have a higher order, then this life is full of disappointments. And the only way to rise above disappointments is to have something more important than those things. As long as the most important thing to you is your money, you're full of disappointments. You have to have something more important. Then you could be shaylet. Then you could have life. Then you could have a normal life. But if you don't have something more important than the stupidities, then you're a baby. And you're full of disappointments. Your whole life is one long string of disappointments. And that's why it's a raw rabba halodah. Rashi sticks in some echpechelke. It doesn't matter how much the guy has. Still going to be full of constant disappointments.